I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. If there's any guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome this Easter Monday, where we can continue to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, and that is a very important day. We just want to thank the Lord for that. But let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, and we also thank you for this opportunity where we can gather in your house, and we ask that you will be with us here in spirit. And we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Being not worthy of these blessings and these mercies that you give us. And Lord, we also thank you for the country that we have. Lord, we pray for our government. And Lord, we especially pray for what you have done for us by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us the times we lived as if there was no God. Teach us to do your will. And Heavenly Father, we just want to pray that we will stay steadfast in the faith that you have instilled in us, the faith of our forefathers, and that we will continue this faith that our children, the generations to come, can also say because of the fathers and mothers. Heavenly Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take the red book and turn to number 31. Come we that love the Lord. Number 31.
Join Lord, my praises be. Number 36. Number 36.
Now, what to do with Easter? Easter is a wonderful time. We've had family gatherings, probably had some Easter eggs, some chocolate bunnies. And then, of course, there was a story of Easter. Well, yes, we do not want to forget that story. Yes, the disciples had watched Jesus die on the cross on Friday, and they were all shocked. So they were now mourning the loss of their dear, close, personal friend. This Jesus that had raised others from the dead had now been nailed to the cross and died himself. Going to the account of that account in John chapter 20, John tells us one of the women came to the tomb. Yes, the women, they had not fled when Jesus was hung on the cross. These women, they were at the foot of the cross when Jesus was nailed to the cross. When Jesus died, they were there. It was unlike the disciples who fled. But Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus had cast 7 demons, came first to the tomb to mourn her friend Jesus' death. But when she arrived, Mary found that the stone had been rolled away. And she looked into the tomb, and the tomb was empty. What could have happened? So Mary ran off to tell the disciples what she had seen. Now Peter and John, two of the disciples, they ran to that tomb to check it out, to see if that story was true that Mary had told them. And they found that the things that Mary had reported were true. And then they went back home. But Mary stayed by the tomb, and she stood there weeping. And she looked into the sepulcher, and she sees two angels in white, one at the head and one at the feet, where Jesus would have laid. And these angels, they ask Mary, "Why are you weeping?" And she tells these angels that somebody has taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him. And as she was turning around, she sees another man standing there. And she doesn't recognize this man. But then this man, Jesus, calls out her name. And she now knows that Jesus is alive. So what did Mary do? She ran to the others and she told them that Jesus is alive. So now we have all heard this story. Is that all? Can we now put this Easter aside for another year? Or is there still more? Is there still more that we need to do with this Easter? There is. We need to believe it. Easter is not just a pretty story. It is not just a story about something that isn't real. We are often skeptical about extraordinary events. And a man rising from the dead is an extraordinary event. Yes, we should be skeptical about most incredible stories, because most of the times they're not credible. Can't believe them. They're not true. And this Easter story might sound incredible, but it is true. If it were just an empty tomb, we could conclude, as Mary did at first, that Jesus' body had been taken away. But it was more than that. There were many eyewitnesses that saw him. It was not just individuals. If just individuals had reported this, there would have been no witnesses. And they could be accused of having seen things, hallucinating. But there were groups of people that saw Jesus at the same time. They even touched him. They even ate with him. Yes, this physical evidence cannot be ignored. We need to believe the Easter story. It is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. There is much physical evidence that it is true. And this Easter, we should also live. What it means is that we should take the truth of that story and put it to work in our lives. This story is more, or is about more than one man 2,000 years ago. More about a man coming back to life. This Easter story is about a new life. A new life that we can have through Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. Because of this resurrection, we have our own promise of the resurrection. Just as Jesus rose, we too will rise to eternal life through him. This is a lively hope. Yes, we know that this life is not the end for us. It's not the end for us or for our loved ones that have gone ahead, that have died in Christ. Yes, we have the hope of eternal life. But this is something that we don't have to wait for. It is something that we can experience now. When Jesus was asked, "Tell us about the kingdom of God," and he says, "It's within you." In other words, we are already living the eternal life. Of course, not as in fulfillment, but as part of us. We are on the way. And because Jesus died and arose again, we have forgiveness. Through him, we know the grace and the love of God personally. Not only does Jesus live, but Jesus also lives in us. He lives in us as in the Holy Spirit. And we need to live with Jesus at the center of our lives. Yes, we need to live Easter. And when we live Easter, we will also be willing to share Easter. Yes, Easter is about a new life. It is about joy. It is about hope and the promise of Jesus living in us and giving us eternal life. Yes, we are part of this story. This happened 2,000 years ago. It isn't something far off, far away. It is right here today with us. We are living that story. We are part of it. And we should share that new life with others. If we know joy because of Easter, then we should share that joy. If we know hope because of Easter, we should bring hope to others. If we know forgiveness and love because of Easter, we should forgive and love others. But most of all, we should share Jesus with others. He is the reason that we are celebrating Easter. That is what Mary did. When she came to believe that Jesus was alive, when she had seen him, she ran to tell others. In the same way, we should tell the world, Jesus is alive and he lives in us. So what should we do with Easter? We need to believe it. We need to live it. And we need to share it. Easter is something that should be with us all the time. But in order for us to do that, we have to have Easter personally. Easter is all wrapped up in Jesus. Do you want this new life we are celebrating here this season? Then you have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Do you want the resurrection power of God living in your life and in your heart? Then open your heart to Jesus today. Only then can you truly believe this gift we are praising God for this morning. And only when you accept him can you live it. And only when you have it can you share it with someone else. Amen. Before we go over to the second portion of our message, I want to give you all the opportunity, whoever's able, to go on bended knee and pray and thank God what he has done for us. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 234, Jesus Loves Even Me. Can we stand, please?
Now, what if I told you that I've just said this morning wasn't true? What if I told you that Jesus didn't rise from the grave? Apostle Paul has the same question. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Now, why would Apostle Paul say something like that? Wasn't he preaching that Christ had died? Even verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." So Apostle Paul says, so whatever I've told you so far is for naught. But then he goes on in verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." This resurrection is central to true Christianity. Philippians 3, verse 10. Where the writer says, our apostle Paul is the writer, says, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." The apostle Paul continues in saying that, yes, there is a resurrection. And Paul says, I want to know him. He wants to know Christ. And he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Jesus' rising from the dead was more than a physical standing up. There is power in this resurrection. And Apostle Paul says, I want to know this. It is Paul's desire. It should also be our desire to know that power that this resurrection brought to us. And to know that the power associated with this resurrection is available. But now, if Christ is not raised from the dead, his bones would still be buried in Palestine, and then we cannot know him. He is dead. It's different than Muhammad. His bones are buried. He is dead. He cannot help anybody. And if Christ was not raised from the dead, he would have no power today. But Christianity is a relationship with a living Savior, with a Savior that we can know, a Savior who empowers us, a Savior who transforms us unto his likeness. But what does Paul mean when he says he wants to know Christ? And what is this power of his resurrection? Let us look at these questions. First of all, what does it mean, knowing Christ? Time and again, both the Old and the New Testament show us that a right relationship between God and man is personal. And knowing God is more important than anything else in this world. But how often don't we put other things in the forefront? Things of this world. But this Jesus himself, on the night prior to his death, prayed for you and me. You would think that Jesus would have had enough things on his mind. He knew what was before him. He knew that he would be persecuted. He would be tortured. And that he would have to die a terrible death on the cross. You would think that would be enough to keep his mind occupied. But no. He could put all that aside and put you and me on his mind. John 17. John 17, verse 3, the words that Jesus prayed to God his Father the night before he died on the cross. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That was Jesus' wish, that we would know him, that we would know God. And what eternal life is what? Knowing God, knowing Jesus. Without knowing them, there is no true life. But what does knowing God and Jesus mean? There is a difference between knowing and knowing facts. We might know a lot of facts about an individual. We might know a lot about the King of England. Because we've read things, we've heard things. But do we personally know him? I don't think anybody here does. But to know Jesus, we have to have a right relationship. And we also need to learn about him. And how can we learn about this Jesus? We need to listen to God's word. We need to read God's word, study God's word. But we must go beyond that. We must cultivate our relationship with him. And the first step to do that is to put our faith in him. We need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God that came to die for our sins. We need to believe what we are celebrating today. We are celebrating the resurrection. Sometimes find it interesting. The churches, many churches have crosses on the buildings to represent the church. And it is very important. It's part of the salvation plan that Christ died on the cross. But where do we have an empty tomb? The resurrection is just as important. Because there are many Christians that are living between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but they are not enjoying what the resurrection brought. Yes, we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time with him in prayer. Those of you who are parents, you enjoy when your children come and visit you, don't you? Likewise, our Father in heaven. It pleases him, and he's just thrilled when we speak to him. And that's how we can build up a relationship. And then we need to listen. We need to listen as we pray and read scripture. We need to step out in faith. He will be there for us. And we will see Jesus as a living, risen Savior. Now, the second part, what the apostle writes about is that he wants to know the power of this resurrection. What is it? What does it do? And he wants to have it. Now, Apostle Paul does not ask for more power. Instead, he asks that he might know the resurrection power that already is there. It is available. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Yes, all of us Christians, we can tap into this power, this mighty power that is available to us. And let us look at some of the aspects of this power that is available to us. The resurrection has the power to forgive sins. Sin had a hold of all of us. Without God, without Jesus, we would all be slaves to sin. But Christ, through his death and resurrection, frees us from the power of sin. Yes, Christ died for our sins, but his resurrection was a must, because a dead God doesn't do us any good. But Jesus' sacrifice is all that is necessary to pay our penalty for sin. The resurrection has the power to conquer sin. Resurrection power does not end with the forgiveness of sin, but it also empowers us to conquer sin in our lives. Yes, in Christ, we are a new creation. His Spirit lives in us. It's no wonder that God makes this difference between his followers and those of followers of the world. We are very different because we have Christ living in us, that Holy Spirit. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ, to become like him. Now, if this is the case, why do we always slip back into sin? Paul gives us the answer. We don't know this power. We have this power available to us, but we act as though we are still slaves to sin. Yes, Satan tries to deceive us. He uses bad habits that are ingrained in us over the years to make us believe him. Someone hurts us, we retaliate. But God gives us that power to break bad habits. But we first of all have to know this power and that it is available for us. And that is why Paul had such a strong desire for this knowledge. And the resurrection gives us the power to be God's witnesses. Christianity is not just about forgiveness and overcoming sin. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We need to be reconciled to God, and then we can be ambassadors for him. Yes, God not only empowers us to defeat sin, but also empowers us to share his loving message to the world. Yes, God has chosen you and me so he can work through us to change the world. The resurrection has the power to conform us to his likeness. The resurrection power conforms us to be like Christ. And what is that? Perfect in his love. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that, as a Christian, should be our goal, becoming the perfect bride of Christ, spotless, blameless, loving, kind. Yes, the resurrection is central to true Christianity. And just to know that we are part of that story. And Easter is something that should be in us all year and all the time till eternity. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Lord, we first of all thank you for being in our midst this morning. We thank you for the opportunity of sharing your word. And we pray that we will not only be saved by the blood, but also enjoy the peace that the resurrection brought, that we might live the complete plan of salvation. We are ever so thankful, not only for the blood that was shed on the cross, but also for the resurrection, which shows us that death cannot keep us in the grave. And Lord, we just thank you for all that what you have done for us. And at this Easter season, we also find that there are the sick and the lonely. We pray for them. May you send them comfort and encouragement. We also thank you for all these dear brothers and sisters who have come to hear your word this morning. And once again, we thank you what your son Jesus did on the cross for us, that he died for our sins, and how he rose from the grave so that we also can have victory, and that he went to heaven to prepare a place for us, and also of not leaving us alone, but by sending the Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 287. We Have an Anchor.
We all have that anchor available to us, but it has to be, we have to be attached with that cable. It's like a ship out in the ocean has an anchor, but if that anchor is not attached to a cable, the winds will toss it to and fro. And likewise with us here, we need that cable to be attached to that anchor so that we are not tossed to and fro in this world. On behalf of Merle and myself, I want to wish you the rest of the blessed Easter. And I also want to thank you for coming this morning and partaking in our worship service in song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace that Jesus brought us.